They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms and dads in your corner. Every week, we check in with a diverse group of parents for their common sense and savvy advice. Today, speaking of dads, did you ever notice how often the new dad is the butt of jokes in movies and sitcoms? The image is of dad trying to, say, shoot hoops with a baby strapped to his chest, or fumbling with a stroller, or acting like changing a diaper is like piloting a nuclear sub. But in real life, many dads say they want to be able to take care of their babies and be a bigger player in family life, and that paternity leave would help. And some employers are starting to respond. Tech giant Google gives new dads 7 weeks of paid leave. At Facebook, it's 17 weeks. But we wondered, apart from these attention-getting workplaces, if most fathers and places of business are really up for this change, and if men pay a price for embracing it, and why it matters. Liza Mundy wrote about this issue in a piece called The Daddy Trap for Atlantic Magazine. She's also a mom of two. She's back with us in Washington, D.C. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Robert Kolker is a writer for New York Magazine and a dad of two. He wrote about his experience with paternity leave. Robert, Bob, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
And Lester Spence is an associate professor at Johns Hopkins University and a father of five. He's one of our regular contributors to our Parenting Roundtable. Welcome back, Lester, to you as well.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, Liza, let me start with you. How common is paternity leave at this point? And are we talking about the same thing or different things? I mean, I have to mention that, you know, paid maternity leave is still relatively rare for mothers,
right?
In this country,
right? Exactly. So I guess it's all relative. Paternity leave is becoming more common, and as you just pointed out, in sort of high tech progressive workplaces where they want to attract talent, this becomes part of a suite of you know, inducements that are offered to desirable male employees, which is a good thing. I think many dads would agree, but it certainly has not become ubiquitous.
From the state and local government standpoint, what are we seeing here? You wrote about California being in the vanguard of this,
right,
and so many other things.
Right, exactly. There are some really interesting state policy examples. California, as you say, in 2002 began offering paid maternity and paternity leave to workers who had just made a small payroll tax contribution. And that makes a really big difference. For my piece, I interviewed firefighters, bartenders, roofing contractors, guys who also really want to be involved with their kids and in most cases have working female partners they need to help out. And these men were really avid to use that leave.
But the point being there, this is not just the elite of the elite. This is a benefit that's open to people across the wage,
right,
scale and the job scale.
Exactly. And being enthusiastically embraced by people across the job scale.
So, Bob, you took 2 months off unpaid, right, after each of your children was born, and you wrote about one of them. What was the, I was curious about whether you hesitated. I mean, was this something that you were nervous about doing?
I was nervous about it because of the baby stuff. But in the end of the day, the difficult part for me both times was the isolation. But I should add that I'm no hero. I was really only off for 2 months, and I encountered full-time parents of both sexes while I was off. And it was clear, you know, in talking to them that I was a day tripper and that I was going to go back to the working world eventually.
But you were saying that one of the things I read in your piece that you had to confront is that being alone, you really needed adult interaction, and that was more important to you than you realized it would be.
It was so funny to me looking back that, I mean, we're a pretty equitable couple, my wife and I. I took the time off, not for an equity reason, but just to extend more time at home for our baby before she entered childcare. But then, you know, suddenly we're in it, and suddenly I revert to all the male stereotypes. I spent all day wondering, who am I if I'm not a person who works? You know, maybe it's that I'm a natural extrovert too, but I wondered, you know, where are all the people who I talk to all day? I loved being around the baby, and I loved learning about caring for the baby firsthand. But apart from that, I was really desperate for human contact.
What about the whole male stereotype thing, though? Were you kind of clueless dad at one point?
Yeah, I had a little of that. You know, the first day I left my wallet at home when I went out shopping, and you know, just going to Costco and trying to get the baby and the stuff in the car. There was a lot of comedy, a lot of physical comedy. But you know, at the end of the day, it was wonderful and really invaluable. I mean, before I took that leave, my wife was off for 6 months, and the weekend would come around. And on Saturday, we'd wake up and decide what to do, and I'd say, okay, great, so where are you keeping the bibs? I'd had to ask a million questions about where everything was. But after just a few weeks of being home alone with the baby, I was a full-time, you know, a fully invested parent. When the weekend would come, I knew where everything was. I knew what to do. I didn't have to ask for instructions.
But that was good for, forgive me for let me just pressing you on this. That was good for her, but how was it good for you? And how do you think it was good for your daughter?
It was very empowering for me. I didn't, I loved being a parent and I loved having a family, but the family was something I would come home to. And I have to admit was a degree removed from until I had this paternity leave.
Lester, what about you? You said you never had paternity leave available to you in part because your tenure clock would keep going. So if you took time off, then you'd still be on the same under the same pressure, right? Is that the way it was when you were kind of moving through the ranks? Would you like to have had that opportunity or not?
It's a bit different in that I didn't have parental leave in part at Hopkins because I was on a fellowship, and B, because my wife was a primary caretaker. And now they do have it, and in fact, I'm pretty sure they actually stopped the clock for men and for women. And I think I would have jumped at the opportunity. In fact, I remember studying for my qualifying exams at Michigan. While my oldest daughter was in my lap, I'd be reading Habermas until 3 or 4 in the morning, taking care of her. So, I mean, I would have loved it, not so much to spend time with my kids, because I was doing that already, braiding hair, making bread, making dinner, et cetera, but because of the extra resources and extra time that would have given me to do my work.
Okay. Keeping it real.
Three-man weave, baby. That three-man weave I learned at basketball ended up being really helpful to braid my daughter's hair. Straight up.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about new trends in paternity leave. And, Liza, one of the interesting things I noted in your piece is that some of the Scandinavian countries have been noted for extensive maternity leave. But one of the points that you made is that they found that these very long leaves, in some cases women took a year off for each child, actually exacerbated the gender gap in the workplace. Why is that?
Right. We think of Scandinavia and Northern Europe as being exemplars of work-family balance, but they've had a few backfires, and there's a constant calibration and recalibration going on. If maternity leave is too long, and it can be even, in some countries it was more than a year, like 2 years, then women kind of get shunted into less senior positions. Sometimes they shunt themselves into less senior positions, but there is a cost in terms of pay and seniority when women are away from the workplace for that long.
But it also was the case that employers were reluctant to hire because
women
of a certain age,
mm-hmm.
which is something that people mm-hmm. always suspected. They would say that if they think they're going to hire someone, particularly somebody of reproductive age,
right.
the thought was, well, if this person disappears mm-hmm. for a year, what am I going to do? So best not to hire that person at all.
It can exacerbate the stigma on women. And women in this country as well face more of a parental stigma than men do.
Well, how do they then correct for that? Or how do they then adjust this?
Right. So there's been this recalibration, how much leave is right? Because leave is important for children's health, for you do want a certain amount of leave for mothers and hopefully fathers. But so how much leave is right, and then, how much childcare is right. So one of the things they've tried to do is encourage men to take more leave. And so there was a period of time in some countries where they were offering neutral leave that could be taken by mothers or fathers. They found that that just became de facto maternity leave, that habits were so entrenched that it was still the mother who took the leave. So they instituted a certain period of time called daddy days that could only be taken by men, offered, pay. And that's important for men, that leave be paid, because there is still that strong breadwinning sense that men have, particularly when children are born. I've got to support this family. But it changes the stigma. When you're offering, studies have shown when you offer men, okay, here's 5 weeks you could take of leave, and only you can take it, your family's going to lose it if you don't take it, then men feel stigmatized if they don't take it, because, you're giving your you're not accepting this. You're not giving your child time with a parent that your child otherwise could have.
Well, what about that? I'm interested in the stigma question. I mean, you're a writer. You're in New York. Presumably people are exposed to lots of different kind of ways of thinking. But did you feel a sense of stigma that you were not as serious about, or that some would feel that you weren't as serious about your career, not as committed, because you took this time off?
Well, if I don't produce, then I don't get paid, and I don't really justify my employment. And so I think if I had sort of made it clear to my boss that I was using this time off to slack off, there would be a problem. But I kind of teed up the idea over the months to try to work and make sure that I was productive right before I left. So that wasn't a problem. And I don't think there was a general political stigma either, because I have a progressive workplace. But this is this was unpaid leave. There's nothing in place to do this. And when I look back, I realize I think I'm the only male I know at my office, and I've been working there 15 years now, who took 2 months of paternity leave unpaid. And I do believe that if systems were in place, there'd be a zillion more men who would take their employers up on it. And there would be lots of great benefits to that for families.
Lester, what about you? I mean, do you feel if the situation were today, you would have liked to have taken this leave? Do you think that it would have hurt you in your field if you had?
I was already professors in general, particularly at high tier institutions, I think are stigmatized for children, women in particular. So I don't think I'd have been as stigmatized as I was already. I don't think I'd have been extra stigmatized. But I want to reiterate that this isn't just about systems in place. This is actually a political project. And so let's say that men are stigmatized, that first generation of people are stigmatized. Gradually, that idea would be worn away, and it would become normal for men and women to take leave. This is something really worth fighting for, even if the data borne out that people were stigmatized for taking.
Leslie, I'm interested in your perspective on this too. Lester said this is a political project, and one can see where it is. I mean, these countries where these programs are very much in place and entrenched are used to a lot of government intervention in shaping social norms. And we could argue about whether that actually exists here in a more tacit form or unspoken form. We could, debate sort of that back and forth. But I wonder, I just would like to sort of hear your perspective on this. I mean, is there there's still debate, as we know, about women having, there is not a norm around women having paid maternity leave in this country, let alone paternity leave.
Absolutely. I mean, the culture has changed a little bit in 20 years since we at least have the Family Medical Leave Act, which enables workers to take 12 at medium size and large companies to take 12 weeks of unpaid leave. So that's a little bit of a cultural change. And incidentally, at my workplace, one of the first people to take that leave was a man taking care of his elderly father. So it's not just about kids. But we have such a long way to go. I did a call-in show, and someone called in who owned a small business, and she said, this is crazy. I just can't afford to replace a worker for 6 weeks. And while that is true, the fact is it does happen in Scandinavian countries. They do find ways to replace people. They've done it in California. I mean, there's been a big study done about how companies have dealt with this, and small workplaces as well. And they do find ways to cover. But we have a lot of entrenched resistance to mothers and fathers leaving the workplace.
How do they pay for paid leave of that length? How is this paid for?
Right. So in states like California, the few states that have it, employees can make a payroll contribution into what is also a temporary disability fund. So and that was happening even before they started having parental leave. So this fund existed, and businesses don't contribute to this fund. So it's purely coming from the workers. So the fund exists, and they can then draw on that fund for 6 weeks. It doesn't fully replace their wages, but it provides partial wage replacement.
So you're self-contributing.
You are self-contributing.
And that's how you get to participate in this. Mm-hmm. And what about in Scandinavia? I mean, does the government provide some kind of subsidy to businesses for offering this level of paid leave?
Right. I'm not an expert. I should be. I should know the answer to that question, but I'm afraid that I don't. I know that government in many countries pays parents and provides, a check to parents. There was a piece in Slate by an American dad who was in one of the Scandinavian countries and was getting this check that enabled him to take leave that was pretty fabulous.
So if the business offered the unpaid leave, the government then would subsidize the person who was then taking that leave. So that person wasn't receiving the benefit from the company. The company wasn't paying the cost of it, but the government was. The effect was spread across kind of the workforce. Bob, I'm just curious again about your experience. And you said that your particular workplace was one in which people thought, yeah, that's pretty cool, right? Or at least they didn't think that you were less of a man or less of a worker because you took that leave. But you also noted that you were one of the few who did. And I wonder if you've thought about why, or whether you ask any of your colleagues why they didn't.
It's an interesting situation because, in my environment. The men want to be involved parents, and they want, you know, they want to play a part, but actually taking the time costs money. I really do believe that paid leave for most people is the answer in this case, and that sooner or later there'll be water cooler conversations where the guys will be talking and one guy will say, yeah, she's having a baby, I can't wait to take that leave, and the other guys will nod and say, hooray, that, you know, good for you. It just needs to be a part of our culture.
Lance, a final thought from you. Is there any pushback against this? We often see that some of them, sometimes these social trends take hold, and then there's resistance to it, and there's, in fact, even a backlash. I'm interested in where you see this conversation going.
Well, right now, I think the backlash would come from workplaces that were reluctant and resistant to losing workers. I think mothers and fathers would say hooray. And just a final word about stigma. You know, women have been stigmatized, as you pointed out, for parenthood for a long time. And one of the equalizing effects that paternity leave has is to spread the stigma around a little bit.
Or does it spread the stigma around when people are using that leave to take care of elderly parents? Because one can choose to be a parent, but one does not choose to be a son or a daughter.
Right.
Does that work as well?
Yes. And then that's the thing about these laws is they're not just for parents. And one of the things I find in our workplace is there's a lot of resentment between single people and married people with children or single people, which everybody thinks, okay, you're getting something that I'm not getting. And we forget that we all have caregiving responsibilities, either to elderly parents or to children or to siblings. And all of these laws allow for caregiving of other family members. And so there's this, yeah, so we're all in it together.
Liza Mendy wrote the piece, The Daddy Track, in the January-February issue of The Atlantic. She's a mom of two, and she was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Robert Kolker is a writer for New York Magazine, a dad of two with us from New York. Lester Spence is an associate professor at Johns Hopkins University, a dad of five with us from Baltimore. Thank you all so much.
Thank you
for having me. Thank you.